All right, everyone, welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. I don't know what number this is. I think we're in the 30s.
Are we in the 30s? Seriously.
33, 34.
Oh, my gosh. It just seemed like last week we were in the 20s.
Don't quote me.
Wow.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
We've been having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back.
Actually, is what this podcast mostly is an intro to a really fun interview we did with Tony Cake and Sander Sasson.
Yep.
Who are the Immersion RC co-founders. We had a really fun, if not a little bit noisy, interview with them, so we apologize for the birds chirping in the background, which the quality wasn't much lower than what we do in here, since
we have no idea what we're doing.
We have distractions in here just in a different way, like dogs walking in, people walking in, but you know what, I'll take birds chirping in the background just to have the opportunity to talk with those amazing guys.
Yeah, and, it's definitely... Definitely listenable. It's a really good interview.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that we wanted to talk about today before I go try not to die. And Alex.
Yeah. Austin's a little bit under the weather. Yeah. Actually, first we should introduce ourselves. Who's all here?
Yeah.
I'm Austin Fury.
I'm Josh Bixler.
Hey, Dave Knopf's here. That's me.
That's Dave Knopf.
That's Knopf Top.
Quick effects.
And I'm Alex Zavada.
Yes. Yeah, and we are here once again back from Switzerland.
If welcome back, guys.
Thank you. How was it when we were gone?
It was quiet.
Was it quiet?
Well, I was going to say quite nice. Quiet nice.
Oh, okay.
it was really quiet, but I mean, I usually am just editing with headphones on, so I don't really hear much anyways. But
now you can tell us the truth. How many hours, I'm not going to say days, but how many hours did it take before the ladies had our area all cleaned up and running the way they wanted?
They took care of it in about... less than an hour.
Less than an hour.
Yeah. It took about an hour, and all the tables were cleared off.
Yeah.
Yeah. The workshop was a disaster when we left.
Yeah. It was beautiful when we came back, and now how is it?
It's a disaster again.
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. The ladies the day after is like, really, guys? Really? I mean, we didn't make it 24 hours.
Yeah.
See, it took about an hour for them to clean up and about 4 hours for us to destroy again. So
yeah.
I guess we're right on par.
Working good. They're patient women. Yeah, but thank you for holding down the fort and guarding the castle.
Yes.
And clean, you cleaned the bathroom, too.
I tried to. I took my hand at trying to clean. I think I didn't dilute the pine sol very well. I don't know.
Is that why I fell and hit my head in the bathroom? I wondered if that was it.
So, Austin, we're going to make this quick and sweet because you're turning shades of green.
Yeah.
And we don't want to really catch a bug over the 4th of July weekend, which today is Thursday, July 3rd.
Yes. And Alex has to go get his hair cut.
Yep.
So wow. It's about that time.
Please, we got to put that in the show notes. So you're coming back afterwards, right?
Yeah. Can we do it before and after?
Yeah.
I think good. That's a must.
Yeah, my dad wanted it to happen at Flight Fest really bad.
Did he?
He has tons of ideas for Flight Fest.
Oh, man.
See, we should just put him in charge of it.
Maybe you just get a trim then.
I'm sure Flight Fest. I'm sure that he would do a great job.
It's coming up quick. It's honestly, I'm starting to lose sleep over it. I'm so excited, but I'm so nervous.
Yep.
I know we say clunky and first time and everything, but... we still want to honor the people that are coming from all over the place and spending their hard-earned money and time.
Yeah.
And it's getting to be real.
Much less than a month away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow. Guys, thank you for your grace ahead of time.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So, today we wanted to basically talk about the new FAA interpretations of some mandates that really affect the RC hobby and, more specifically, the FPV hobby. Yeah.
The FAA power grab.
Yeah, basically... making their stance known. They know that basically they know what FPV is, but I don't think they know a whole lot more beyond that.
They know they don't like it.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty evident in their language and their efforts, and there's a lot of other things in this world going on. I'm really amazed at the efforts they're putting to this one technology, and I'm kind of interested why.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, the FAA's new interpretation basically says that any kind of flying activity, remote control flying activity that is not line of sight is now not approved and is subject to a fine.
A fine.
Essentially.
Which I wasn't aware that FAA was able to give fines, but I'm sure they're going to take liberties and dish that out.
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll find a way around it. So...
this is important, guys.
Yeah, this is pretty important. And we put out a Facebook post about it. It's about three posts down now on July 3rd. We posted it on July 1st, if you're looking for it. Basically, we gave a bunch of information about it just to kind of help people educate themselves and really to educate ourselves. I mean, we're not experts on this by any means.
Yeah, this happened while we were in Switzerland. Right, so when we right. came back, it was like, whoa.
Everybody was kind of going crazy about it. Yeah. So we wanted to kind of provide a statement about it. And we are going to be having some guests on the show to talk about this with us in the next 2 weeks, I think.
Yep, one of the biggest ones is the lawyer.
Yeah, Brendan Schulman is going to be on the show. Many of you might recognize him as representing Trappy in the very first FAA, I don't know what you want to call it.
Legal battle.
Legal battle.
Fine yeah, battle, whatever.
That is, you know, specifically RC related.
Yeah, and he won.
Yeah.
So obviously he's very well versed in the laws, our rights. And also what the FAA is trying to do, and also the importance of taking action and making your voice heard, which, guys, if you're listening to this and say, okay, someone else will do it, please don't take that for granted.
Yeah.
We're going to have links in the show notes. I know we're putting out a video on Monday.
Yep. Yeah, even more. Again, with Trappy and his lawyer, that's in 2 weeks. We're going to be doing a video sooner than that. We're shooting for Monday.
Don't wait 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I do want to say – oh, sorry, go ahead, Alex.
Oh, I was just going to say – we're basically in the video. My hope is that we give tips and kind of like step by step instructions on how to respond to this, where to go to sign petitions, because there's quite a few different places where you can go, and within a couple minutes you can actually cast your vote, so to say, and really make a difference.
And there's actually two different things you can do. You can submit a comment to the FAA on this new interpretation.
Please be respectful.
And that's at regulations.gov. And so if you can, we link to that in the Facebook post that we put out on July 1st. Underneath that, we also linked a Google document with kind of just a well-crafted response from a community member. We would encourage you to take that, make it your own, and add your own comments to it, because the FAA does not look at duplicate comments. And let them know what you're thinking, which is, I mean, essentially, there's a huge divide between what, autonomous drone flying for the military and what people do with a mini quad in their backyard. There's just a huge divide between it. And to help educate the FAA that you have, a contradictory opinion, and B, help educate them on, FPV should be something that should be made safe and should be regulated to some point, whether or not you should have to take a test, or whether or not you should have to, be certified in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not opposed to that.
Or even insured or something.
Or, some sort of special insurance, but just saying, we don't like it. We don't know that much about it, so therefore it's gonna be banned.
And America is one of the last countries that have really taken time. A lot of the other countries that we've gone to have already made rules and regulations on it, and it's pretty simple. It's pretty, there's guidelines and things like that, and we learned that when we were traveling. But what kind of grieves me in this aspect and is that they'd rather regulate people and technology than discipline bad behavior.
Yeah.
And that's what breaks my heart. I think there's a very unhealthy obsession with taking away civil recreational enjoyment of the air. I think that's that was started back in 2007 with the language and the laws, and they're slowly chipping away. And if people think it's going to stop with FPV, my honest opinion is they're wrong. This is just a snowball effect. The drone talk is something that's very common right now. I can see why they would attack it, but it's going to trickle over to other things. It's going to be okay. Well, if flying autonomously civilians is dangerous, well, a model airplane can lose its radio link. And, there's so many Wi-Fi and different signals out there. That's dangerous too, so we need to outlaw that. So don't be fooled that FPV will go away and everything will be fine. This is going to be a slow trickle, in my opinion. And once again, it's just my opinion. It'll start with FPV. It'll go to actual RC recreation. And I can even see it trickle over to, well, you know what? You can do all the same things as these by argument. You can go up in a Cessna 150 with a telephoto lens and violate someone's privacy. I think people want to regulate civilian recreational flight, period.
And the stated reason from the FAA for this new interpretation is safety.
Yeah.
However, is how I would respond to that would be, and this would be a good thing to include in a comment to the FAA, which you can find the link to that on our Facebook post, is basically the people that operate in an unsafe manner that's dangerous to people is probably 0.01%, if that, of the FPV community. Those people are going to go completely unaffected by this mandate.
Because they're not respecting the law in the first place.
Exactly right. So it's going to be the people that, you know, are using it for recreation, for education, for innovation. Those are going to be the people that are going to be most affected.
Yeah. So don't be silent, please.
And I do have to say, the petition that we linked to went up by about 500 signatures when we posted it on Facebook. But one thing I was looking at is it has close to 400 shares. It has about 1,000 likes, and it's been viewed by 75,000 people, and and the petition went up about 500 signatures.
So there's your ratio.
So that means that a lot of people agree with this and are saying that, well, somebody else is going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And I would strongly encourage you to not expect someone else to do something about it.
Before this is even taken seriously, there has to be, what, at least 10,000 unique people reacting to this, not with form letters, not with blast emails, but unique write-ins.
Yesterday they were up to about 2,500 out of 10,000. So
that's and this is time sensitive. If you wait till our interviews with like Trappy and his lawyer,
it's already going to be almost too late. We have about a week left.
Yeah, so it'd be much better to hit this out of the ballpark and get the momentum started early.
Yeah, the FPV community is small enough as it is. You know, we need everybody to participate. And also, if you're not personally into FPV, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to the Flight Test Podcast, you enjoy the show. This is something that's going to seriously affect our show.
Yeah.
This is going to seriously affect the quality of the show, and it's going to affect the
Basically,
we're going to have to spend a lot more money and be a lot more creative to capture the same content now.
Yeah, and keep the production value. And also, a lot of this technology that's coming out nowadays is around FPV, multi-rotors, things like that. It's going to weaken the content of the show, but also weaken the benefits socially that flight is, that this hobby brings. One of the greatest things is flying around, passing goggles around, giving people an opportunity to experience, you know, what it looks like from a bird's eye view. Things that you just can't economically do anymore in full scale or safely do. So it kind of breaks my heart because I've seen the way flight tests and also this hobby has impacted people for a really good way. And it makes me angry when people try to limit that strictly out of ignorance and fear.
Yeah.
We don't need to drive this in the ground too much further, but I just wanted to, again, link you guys to that. It's facebook.com/flighttest. And that's the post on July 1st, and it gives all the different actions you can give and things that you can say, that sort of thing.
Yeah, please be respectful, too.
Yeah, that's very important. Yeah. Don't be disrespectful. Don't get angry. Don't, you know.
Yeah, that's not progress.
Don't get emotional.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can also access that on the July 1st post on our Google Plus page if you don't use Facebook.
Very cool.
So let's just touch real briefly on our Europe trip.
Let's talk about happy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, moving on.
European road trip. You have T-shirts.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did some pretty nifty T-shirts.
Thanks to Jake Wells.
Yeah.
By the way, your prize is in the mail, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. With T-shirts.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay,
it is,
good. Yeah. He texted me the other day. He actually texted me like 3 days, and he kept asking me what he got, and I didn't know. So I was like, "I'll check tomorrow," and then I forgot.
We had to go down that, and bring it back with us. So, Jake, I hope you like it. The European road trip was so much more than I ever expected. It was the beauty, the great people, the freedom to just go get the content, and how wonderfully supportive all the people around were.
Yeah,
it was amazing, you know. And also, by the way, the cheese. So I've never smelled such stinky, tasty cheese in my life. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking about cheese 5 minutes into it, huh?
Okay, we're gonna save that till later.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let's also talk about the bread.
The bread's good too, and the coffee.
Yeah, and the coffee. That was three staples that were definitely heavy on our diet. In the morning, you have bread and cheese,
a croissant.
So leading up to the trip, you guys have probably already talked about it in podcasts, but. Why did you guys even go there? Do we know? Do I know? I don't know if I know.
Yeah, do you want to start the story? Once upon a time.
Yeah, basically, We were talking back and forth with a company called Immersion RC, which if you're into FPV, you're probably pretty familiar with them.
Pretty much the biggest company, I think, in FPV.
They make some pretty awesome FPV equipment.
Yeah.
And basically, we were talking back and forth with them about them sponsoring some educational content.
Beginner series for FPV, kind of like proper setup all the way up to advanced.
Yeah, more of like a fundamental series.
Yeah.
We're basically just kind of covering your bases, proper setup, and, you know, the correct equipment, that sort of thing. And what we originally were talking about was them flying out to Ohio and kind of helping us with the episodes, doing some flying with us out here. For those of you that have been to Ohio, not super interesting flying. We do the best we can out here, but you know, it's pretty flat, not a whole lot of varied terrain.
Yeah, a lot of fields, no cap mountains.
That's right, exactly. Sure. So, long story short, it kind of came around to the fact of, well, why don't we go out there?
Yeah, if you're going to buy plane tickets, might as well go from Ohio to Switzerland, then Switzerland to Ohio.
Right.
What was that?
I think that was my computer, sorry.
Okay. Wow, kind of scared me.
It scared me, too. So basically, instead of going to one location over in Switzerland, which is what was the original plan, we eventually decided to... this was the Immersion guys' idea. They said, well, the main concern was weather. If we come over there for a week or 10 days and the weather is bad for five of them, that really limits the kind of, the content that we can collect. So they said, well, let's rent some RVs and we'll just drive anywhere we want. And that's pretty much what we did.
And this was a blessing because it gave us the opportunity to say, well, while we're driving, maybe we can meet up with people. And they were so great about that. They're like, absolutely. And they took a step further to help us arrange a meetup at the end of the event. And also they surprised us with the opportunity to do some quad racing with Erganet.
Erganet, which is located in Erganet, France.
Yeah, they got to stop messing with these weird names.
But all those guys were awesome. Both the meetup and the quad racing guys. It was definitely a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah. And we traveled around. I'm going to be a broken record, but I don't like heights. And they really exploited that. And I didn't appreciate it, but the beauty overwhelmed me. And,
Josh's fear of heights makes no sense at all.
Brother, we talked about this.
Can we just talk about it for a second?
No, we've talked about this, and it makes total sense. I know, but airplanes lift you up.
No, that doesn't make sense.
No. Okay, what the argument is how can I be afraid of heights? And honestly, I bet you a lot of pilots are going to chime in that they're afraid of heights too. When you're belted in, like I have no problem driving through hilly areas as well too when I'm belted into a vehicle, but... Unless there's no guardrails, that's another story. But when you're in aircraft or in something that you're harnessed into, it's lifting you up. It's picking you up off the ground. And it gives me a lot more security. But when you're sitting at the edge of a bridge and you feel like just one little step forward, you're going
to
die.
A bridge is designed to hold you up.
No, but a plane lifts you up.
Josh says he's afraid of heights, but yeah, he wants to go paragliding in the mountains.
So bad.
Paragliding.
Yeah, paragliding, yeah. I want to go paragliding. That's on my bucket list.
What about skydiving?
No, because you're falling.
You have a parachute, though, which is designed to lift you up.
No, that parachute only slows your fall.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is very simple, man. So planes lift you up, hot air balloons. I didn't like it because the basket was so low, but that wasn't so bad. But sailplanes are cool, you know. Something that can generate lift and pick you up.
But a sturdy railing, no good.
No, it's not good at all. And I didn't also appreciate you standing by that cliff one time saying, hey, Josh, check this out. They really made a theme of this whole thing.
It just doesn't add up.
I'm telling you, man.
We were in such varying elevation being in the Alps that, I mean, kind of heights were a given. So
yeah, it was so beautiful, though. That one location that we flew were the mountains and then that valley in front of us with the creek. And honestly, it looks like God's painting. It was so breathtakingly beautiful. And remember, we were flying there, and all of a sudden, these parasails pop over the ridge. And
the one dude gave everybody a five. He flew by.
That was a lady.
Oh, really?
It was a lady. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. As she landed, I was like, that's a girl. I can't believe that. But
she just like came by.
Yeah.
And a little flyby and
came off the ridge. It was awesome. But
it was really cool.
Next year, we definitely want to go back there.
We have a bunch of pictures, so we'll probably do a big Facebook album or something like that.
That'd be cool.
A lot of this stuff will be episodes that are coming up.
Yeah.
Right.
Just for the record, I didn't go with you guys to Europe.
I had some
other obligations. So Brian, our other cameraman, editor, he went with you guys. It was Brian, Alex, Austin, and Josh Bixler.
Little worried. Brian has absorbed a little bit more of the European lifestyle because the other day he's like, guys, I have a couch in my office because, well, frankly, my office isn't even complete, but I had a couch. I couldn't store at my house. And I thought, you know what? My kids come a lot. We'll put a couch in there. And Brian is walking over. He's like, guys, I'm beat. I'm going to take a 10-minute nap. And he just walked in my office and closed the door. he made up a cute little sign, you know, that says, I'm sleeping in here. So we'll see how many more times if we can work that out of them, but there may be an intervention coming. So we need Brian editing.
If we do put up that Facebook album, just everybody look for the pictures of Josh standing by something that's tall, because he either has a death grip on the railing or he has a death grip on whoever he's standing with.
I like my foot stance. You always look at my foot stance.
And you can look at the very aggressive foot stance, yes, you know, very, very safe.
But you know what, guys? If there's an earthquake, I'm going to live. So I'm just saying. Just keep that in mind. I watched Indiana Jones, and when he wrapped his hands around the little railing thing, that worked really well for him.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, but boy, was it beautiful. And you guys are pretty impressive. I admire the fact that you can do things. Even you, Alex, taking off of that bridge.
What? The blackout.
Yeah, with the blackout.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took off of a really, really high bridge right in the center. It was like a
historical bridge. And then I lost the video signal.
Yeah, that was awkward, though. So it was beautiful.
So during the trip, it was very successful. We did get a whole FPV Fundamentals series sponsored by Immersion RC. Actually, they helped us out quite a bit with the content.
Yeah.
It taught us a lot, too.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of things where I think, well, let's say, frankly, we were wrong about.
Yeah.
Which really was humbling, and we were very transparent about that in the videos. So
yeah,
look for some new information and some new
Yeah, these guys, I can't say enough about their team. They were very similar to us. We were able to relate to them on a lot of different levels. Yeah. But I mean, our specialty is kind of bringing the hobby to newcomers and making it more approachable. Mm-hmm. Their niche is definitely FPV, and they're definitely pioneers when it comes to the technology. I mean, they literally. You know, they see something or they come up with an idea and then they just create it.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. And they have physicists, they have engineers, they have a whole slew of team members that all pull together to make it happen.
They're just amazing. Every one of them. I think probably 24 hours we went from being in two separate companies to friends to family. Mm-hmm. It was a really good bond with everyone.
Yeah, and we were we stopped by their R&D department, which is in Geneva, Switzerland.
Yeah, Le Montec.
Yeah, and it was pretty awesome. But they also, one of the co-founders, Sander, he lives in where, Holland?
Holland.
Holland, and they're pretty spread out across all the world. And we also got the opportunity to hang out with Mr. Fat Shark.
Yep, Greg.
Greg.
Greg French, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I like to call him Greg Fat Shark, you know.
By Did the he way, talk I, about I, where that name came from?
You know
the
what? I asked him one time, and I think his response was, I like the name. So I think
fair
you know,
enough.
Yeah, so many people ask, I wish, you know, Greg, if there's a deeper story, we could really use it now because it's kind of weak.
Now, with everybody else, I was following along with the few Facebook posts that you guys had. There was a picture of you guys. Was it the collider?
Underground? Yeah.
The Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
What were you doing there? Did you get lost?
We crashed an airplane, and we were looking for it. So,
actually, Tony from Immersion RC set up. Actually, the tour was set up for the day that we got in because we didn't have any real strict agenda that day.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting laid over in the airport for 24 hours in Newark. And so that didn't quite work out because we lost a full day there. Mm-hmm. But we managed to work it out for the end of the trip. And that was pretty cool.
Neat thing is that's one of the guys that designs for Immersion. That gentleman that works at the Hadron.
Yeah.
They got at the tour. Also, he blessed me with a 12-pack of Mountain Dew. I guess there was some American store located in one of the other countries, and he was passing through, saw Mountain Dew, and we were all eating dinner, and he goes, Josh, I got something for you. What are you missing right now? I was like, family. He goes, what else? And I kind of looked at him funny. He pulled out a 12-pack of Mountain Dew. And the funny thing was is the team then proceeded to ration it. I didn't get to see the pack of 20 Mountain Dew until I do something good, and then they gave me a can of Mountain Dew.
They were Bixler treats.
I know, Bixler treats. I was really excited about that. So, but great guy and truly impressive, the people that Immersion is surrounded with. They're just amazing.
So with like, for me, I'm not super familiar with all their products. Do they have some key product that they're known for specifically?
It's predominantly FPV gear, video transmitters, long-range systems.
Antennas.
Antennas, UHF systems.
OSDs.
Yep, on-screen display, telemetry. Mm-hmm. On top of that, also, they integrate all their technology with Fat Shark. So if you have Fat Shark goggles, anything Immersion is compatible, also to the point where it expands the ability of the Fat Shark goggles can actually take the telemetry and through the new DVRs and the new goggles, record the audio signal, will give a, like a modem sound, mm-hmm. and then you run it through a free app and you actually have the same kind of telemetry that you'd normally find in expensive setups like EagleTree.
Yeah.
And really, really cool things. You can trace out through Google Earth your whole flight. And so they're really pushing some boundaries. Even just because they're, what, physicists, engineers, what were the other, crazy. They mm-hmm. should all be doctors. They knew that with their UHF systems or the long-range systems that you could put things like spectrum analyzers, build them into it, so you could actually tune and check the noise floors and optimize your system. And they just opened that up so people can do that. And to take that energy and time to do that, I mean, we're kind of ruining a lot of episodes now, but...
Sneak previews.
It's... Like you said earlier, Alex, you're absolutely right. Our heart is bringing people into the hobby, introducing them to the different aspects. Their heart is definitely making sure the FPV experience is as cheap, affordable, safe, and robust as possible.
Yeah, FPV, long range, just RF stuff in general.
Yeah, that's their passion, and they definitely produce it. And they have some pretty cool toys that their technology goes on to.
Yeah, they're also coming out with some really cool platforms like the Shugong.
Yeah.
Shugong Pro. Which is the regular Shugong's already out. They're coming out the Pro. Basically, it's a folding quad. It's about the size of a TBS Discovery. But
it looks weird.
It folds. Yeah, when you see a picture of it, it's not something you would expect to be high performance. But man, this thing was awesome. And it folds up to about the size smaller than like a racing quad.
Yeah, really, really
about
compact.
About the size of a Blackout, but. Mm-hmm. It unfolds. It's all custom milled aluminum.
Yeah.
Each one is milled out of a solid block of aluminum. It's basically like the Swiss Army knife of quads.
Yeah.
It's just the way that the hinges work and the click out.
Yeah.
I just sat there with a frame and just kept clicking it because it just felt so good.
Well, and we looked at it and I was kind of nervous because I remember seeing it. I was like, oh, okay, this looks really chintzy. Because the metal's not that thick. It's designed to be light. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking this thing's going to blow apart in a wreck, and we wreck a lot.
Yeah.
And I was 110% wrong. Yeah. The rigidity is greater than a lot of the quads out there, especially anything carrying DJI arms on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the wiggle, but also the way it was designed in with pivot points that break. And now I sound like a commercial, but we saw this thing tested. We saw one leap off.
Greg from Fat Shark, they brought one for him to fly.
Yeah.
And we don't know what exactly happened, but he landed it and the NASA freaked out.
Yeah.
He landed it pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, oh, that was awesome. And then all of a sudden the thing just jumped off the mountain.
Just came alive.
Came alive and just threw itself off the mountain and then went tumbling down. Nothing broke.
Yeah, they picked it up and it was still flyable. It was good condition. They actually make shear pins that will break, but even those didn't break. And it honestly looked like, you know, the thing was like, goodbye, cruel world.
Yeah.
It just flung itself off.
Yeah. Like a spring was underneath it. But that was enough. They really, we pushed that technology really hard.
And if you guys want to see, there might be more now, but at the time, the only prototype of the Shugong Pro fly over water, you can go to our latest episode exploring Gorge du Verdon, which is where we...
Gorge du Verdon.
Something like that. No. Which is
still butchered
our first very first episode we released from our European trip. So.
Yeah, that was fun.
And you'll see a big combination of educational videos and fun videos, and this is definitely a fun one.
And we're going to sprinkle this out over the next couple months, right?
We're definitely not going to release them all at once.
Yeah.
There'll be some good
stuff.
It'll
make all our other videos look really horrible then.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's hard to compete with gorges and mountains. I'll tell you, that was one reality check. It's like, how are we gonna keep this going then?
So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, maybe a trip next year. All right. You know what, we've gone back. You're looking greener. Do you want to roll into the interview?
Yeah, let's go ahead and roll that.
Let me first say thank you to everyone, though. Guys, the community brought us the opportunity to go to Switzerland and to experience all these things. We still don't take it for granted. It moves us, and also with the European meetup, getting the honor of shaking hands and hugging people over there, it was a very powerful thing. So on that note, we can move on.
Yep, and big thank you to the whole Immersion team for making it such a easy and fun trip for us.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. It's rolling.
Thanks, guys.
We're actually here in Switzerland.
We are not in our office.
Yeah, that's correct. So if you hear some birds chirping and some wind blowing, we apologize, but it's the quietest setting that we could find. Yeah,
this is quite possibly going to be the most background noise you will ever hear in any podcast in the history of Flight Test.
It's not really like we have that much of a studio back at home anyway.
No, but, but we are surrounded by more beauty than we've ever seen in our life.
That's true, yeah, which isn't helpful for a podcast, but... It looks great here, guys.
It is great. So please bear with us, tolerate the noises, and you know what? Let's get right into this. We are just finishing off a European road trip, and we're surrounded by some amazing people. So why don't we just all introduce ourselves here?
Sure. I'm Austin Fury.
I'm Alex Zavada.
Go ahead, Brian. You're here, too.
Brian's here.
I'm
here.
Brian Doten.
Brian Doten is one of our production guys that has never been in a podcast yet, but he's listening to make sure that the bird noise doesn't get too loud. I'm Josh Bixler.
Anthony Cake.
And Sandra Sassen.
And where are you guys from?
I live here in Switzerland.
Okay.
We're actually in the UK. We're actually at Anthony's house right
yes.
now.
Yes.
His garden.
The RVs are literally, you're going to have to, possibly, if we get rambling on too long, you're going to have to leave because we got to return the RVs.
Yeah.
But Anthony and Sander are from Immersion RC. They're the ones responsible for bringing us on this European road trip. And basically, the theme of this European road trip was to basically cover every aspect of FPV flight and all the technology, all the tuning, all the educational content as much as possible while putting it to the test at the same time. And also visiting some amazing locations.
Yep. Yeah, I think we accomplished that feat.
It was incredible. Guys, one thing is people don't know you. Why don't you start? I'll pick on you, Anthony, first. What got you into the hobby? No problem.
What got me into the hobby? I guess I was into the RC modeling hobby from a young age. My father flew, my grandfather flew. So it was quite common on a weekend to end up on the top of a slope soaring gliders, balsa gliders.
Nice.
So that was many years ago, and then started studies and left the hobby for a while. And then lucky enough to move into a house in the countryside in Switzerland. And one of my neighbors was flying an electric, I think it was a Twin Star, above the house one day. And it just reignited the interest, and my passion was to put a camera on the plane. So this is now 15 years ago, I think.
Wow! And your background's in technology, correct?
My background's technology, yes. So electronics by education and software by career.
Fantastic! So you basically merged the two out of love.
Oh yes.
Fantastic. That sounded kind of creepy. I'm sorry. how about you, Sander?
Well, it's pretty much the same story. My dad was flying free flight gliders for quite a long time, even when I was growing up. Always amazed by the fact he spent hours basically working with balsa wood and putting the thing together. And I think I got bitten by the bug back then.
That's a horse, by the way.
That's not me.
Just want to point that out.
And at some point I just I bought a car, an RC race car, and moved on to planes and everything.
Nice.
So, Sander, you're from Holland.
Yep.
And Anthony, you're from the UK. So how did you guys connect, and what got you guys into Immersion
RC? That's an interesting story. We both were signed up to the RC Groups forum. And, basically one thing led to another. We started talking, and similar ideas, similar mindsets.
Similar educations, too, right?
Yeah. I'm actually an electronics engineer by profession.
Nice. Well, very cool. Well, you guys took us on an amazing trip, and I can see clearly when we started talking, how many months ago about this?
I don't know, 3 months ago,
three or four months ago. We started talking about bringing you guys down to the U.S. to basically cover all aspects of FPV, because there's a lot of things we do with FPV, but we really don't give people the key building blocks to have an amazing experience. And we knew that was an educational element, just like our beginner series that we needed to bring, and you guys were on board with helping us with that. But somewhere in the middle, it got switched around to, you know what, there's a lot more FPV opportunities here in the England and Switzerland and France than there is in North Canton, Ohio. And, and first of all, I want to thank you for that, because we were completely shocked about the beauty that lies here in Switzerland and France. Just so you guys know, if we turned 180 degrees, you would see what is the tallest peak of the Alps.
Mont Blanc is about 80 kilometers away.
Mont Blanc. And there's snow on there. Yeah, and it's absolutely breathtaking. But the coolest thing about this is we were able to learn about the technology, demonstrate the technology, but then also put it to the test all in one trip. And on top of that, meet up with an amazing European community that, honestly, they've resorted us to tears, I think, a couple different times. The kindness they showed to us. I think the only thing more beautiful than the land is the people.
Yeah.
So thank you for that, first of all.
You're welcome.
It's been a real pleasure. It's been a lot of fun.
Why don't we talk about
I guess, the trip, kind of just do a little overview verbally, you know, some of the things that we never met each other before.
No, it's first time.
And I honestly think within 24 hours it became going from two different companies to a family. A rather crazy, weird family. But a family nonetheless. Can we give all the guys on your team a shout-out really quick? Because they truly, you guys treat them like family.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing that spoke most to you. What's all the guys on your team's name?
So we've got Jan. We've got Jan Offner. He's I call him a software wizard. He's been my right-hand man for many, many years in a previous business. We've also got Jerome, who's... joined us fairly recently.
An amazing cook, by the way, too.
Amazing cook, amazing hardware guy, technician.
Yeah, you know, always knows where to find the keys.
Yeah.
He's a problem solver.
Yes, he is.
He's a problem solver. And then we've got Urs, who's the geeky physicist.
Yes.
Nicest guy I'll ever meet.
Really good cook.
He really is nice. I crashed his plane and he wasn't really upset with me.
Honestly, when you crashed his plane, I thought he was taking it to the field to kill you. He was really, because I asked him to fly his plane, he's like, don't crash it, you know. Yeah. But that's okay, he's amazing. And by the way, on the show notes, Austin, can we put pictures of all these guys?
Oh, sure we can. Yeah.
So can people can identify them, because... Yeah. Yeah, geeky finishes.
You took pictures of me.
Yeah. So who else?
Who else did we have? That's
David?
Everyone.
Dave.
We've got our UK Dave the Repair guy.
Yes. And the reason why he's called Dave the Repair Guy is if you have any issues with immersion or Fat Shark, they go to his door.
Yep.
And this is a cool thing. He's not that busy of a guy, is he?
No, he doesn't get a lot through his post box every day.
I think that's pretty exceptional, the fact that he's not that busy, but the fact that you guys have that feature. Yeah. I never even knew that you actually warrantied and would repair your own components.
Oh, of course.
That's exceptional.
Of course.
Anyone else we're missing?
Greg was there.
Let's not forget our wives and girlfriends.
I was just going to say afterwards, yeah.
Support us through all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned
Jan.
Yeah, we did Jan first.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Greg is Mr. Fat Shark, and he was on the trip with us, and he had to leave halfway through.
Unfortunately.
Which was quite an event trying to find a way to get him back to the airport.
He's a funny guy.
Apparently, there's a bunch of people waiting for Dominator HDs, and he's so passionate about this. He actually flew home early, left us mid-trip to go and make sure that those things get out the door. So.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the Dominator HDs are the newest Fat Shark FPV goggles, which we had a chance to test out.
It's pretty amazing.
They're phenomenal.
We just might have slipped one of the prototypes into our suitcase. Yeah. Really?
What did that cost us?
You don't want to know.
Okay. Well, one of the things I like about the Dominators is they have a built-in DVR, digital video recorder. And you know what? That's cool, because when we're flying Let's Flies and we're like, oh, static, we can't really show people what we're experiencing. Now we can. And
without all the hooking up a DVR and getting
all the extra wires,
a bunch of separate.
It's brilliant. Everything in a single package. Just a single battery, single pair of goggles, you're good to go.
Very, very cool. And the Trinity head tracker is amazing. Now let's go on to your amazing wives and girlfriends, because we were met here. We had quite a crazy trip coming down here. We had two jets fail in Newark, and we ended up spending the night on the floor.
In the airport.
The airport. And I never felt such a comfy jet seat in my life.
Yeah.
It was, we got it from the floor to the jet seat, and I think we all just zonked out.
You guys did offer to fix the planes, right?
But all I had is foam board and hot glue, and they wouldn't tolerate that.
Right.
The nice thing is I think it kind of canceled out the jet lag. Because we didn't get any sleep at all. So we showed up and barely stayed awake the rest of the day, and then got a good night's rest. And
That's one way to combat jet lag. Don't sleep at all.
Well, going to the wives, your wife Kelly made an amazing dinner and barbecue.
We showed up on her birthday.
So nothing says happy birthday more than a bunch of dudes walking through your door that you never met before, and you have to feed them and entertain them. But what a wonderful, kind lady. She's truly remarkable, and the food was amazing. You guys treated us like gold from the very beginning. It was more than we ever deserved or expected.
She enjoyed the happy birthday song with her. That was superb.
Yeah, that was funny. We actually sounded really good.
We sounded good. I'm surprised nobody has a recording of that. But.
And the chocolate cake, I think you and I both snuck like three helpings of the chocolate cake.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's something about Swiss chocolate.
Oh, yes.
That's
just
magical.
All the food on this trip has been amazing.
We've been eating very well, thanks to all the guys on the team cooking for us, you taking us out to dinner. And I think we've all lost weight because the food is just so good and healthy and rich. It's just amazing. At least I feel like I've lost some weight.
So, we'll tell.
So yeah, boy, we're
it's all the swimming, Josh. I think.
We won't tell them about that.
So your wife Jen stayed back and held down the fort and shipped out everyone's packages.
Yep, and Miss Lindsay, Alex's fiance, was back there too. And I think they did some good bonding too, judging by the pictures they were sending. It looks like they were having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But ladies, if you're listening to this, thank you so much.
They're not listening to this.
Yeah. You know what, my wife does.
Does she?
Yeah, this may have to be edited out. But one of the weirdest things, I'm walking upstairs. And my wife was in the bathroom taking a bath, and I hear your voice. And so that was weird. And I walked around to see what's going on, and she has the podcast playing while she's taking a bath. And oh my gosh, she's going to kill me for saying that. But that was really disturbing and funny at the same time. So yeah, there you go. She loves to listen to the podcast.
That's the benefit of the podcast. Yeah. You can take it anywhere.
And we also had to figure out how to get the new laser.
Yes.
In the shop.
The laser we had custom built, it was about 60 days overdue, and we weren't going to delay it being delivered. So this is a shout out to the great guys at Lauren, because I got a call. There was a miscommunication. They never emailed me 2 days ahead like they're supposed to. And I got a call saying, hey, you know, if this isn't dropped off or able to be pulled off the truck this morning, and we're 6 hours ahead, we're going back to California with it. And you got to pay for new shipping. And we didn't want to lose that because we got about 100 Krakens to make, and we need this machine. Yeah. So long story short, I called the guys at Lauren, and I called him about 6 in the morning his time. He answered back, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I got to get this machine off. I need 2 forklifts, about 4 guys, an electrician, blah, blah. You know, I just gave him this laundry list. Like, okay. And that's the last I heard of it. Next thing I know, we see a picture of this thing unloaded. They actually beat the truckers there to make sure they got off, because they knew how important it was. They had the crew out before the business even opened. You know,
that's
their company
insane.
Opened. So that means he was calling people, getting out of bed, and they jumped into action. So we have this beautiful machine that can cut 6 pieces of foam at one time, and the Krakens are going to be flying out the door.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. But the machine, we actually have to build a raised platform for the ladies because it's so tall they can't reach inside of it, which is pretty funny. We'll shoot you some pictures. But Jen, Lindsay, who else were we
for? Jen.
Dave Knopp.
Jen. Dave Knopp stayed back.
Yep,
yeah.
My sister-in-law, Jen.
Anna kept a 9-week-old while I left to go around the world for 10 days. So, yeah.
It's going to be really hard to convince them that this was work, because you guys just showed us so many beautiful areas. And on top of that, we'd stop and we would film there. And the people were so hospitable. It was so great to talk to different people. Why don't we start the very first day we hit the road?
Yes.
We loaded up the RVs and we hit the road. You guys surprised us. It took us to a race quad course.
Erginay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And near Annecy in France.
Yes. And, oh my gosh. Did you know these people? How did that come to be?
I met them a couple of months before. We had a small FPV event in the region, and it was rained off. And we ended up all in a small kind of hut, kind of portagavin. And I was introduced to these guys who were fairly local. And I had one of the prototypes of the Shugong XS, our new mini quad. And the guy looked at it and explained that he was, you know, getting into mini quad racing. And that piqued my interest, and we ended up spending the rest of the day chatting.
Nice.
And he explained that he basically got a part of a forest that he can use. They set up a circuit, and there's a whole community down there.
This is actually a land that's not like a private land. It's actually public land, and the first time I've ever heard of a course being like made or created and allowed by a city. And it's such a great example of what this FPV hobby can do, because oh my gosh, their skills, and seeing 250 size quads just ripping through the woods, it was incredible.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Absolutely incredible. And the hospitality, there's maybe 30.
Oh yeah, at least.
They said it was the biggest in Europe, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's the biggest club in the world.
Yeah.
And it's not huge, but it just goes to show how underground kind of the mini quad racing scene is still.
Well, and how much it needs to be brought up to be a relevant part of the hobby.
It's a fun part
of the
hobby.
I think that video will help. In fact, we should probably name that video quad racing or something like that to make it easy to find.
I agree. It was breathtaking. And their skills, they schooled us pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty humbling to see how fast they go. We just kind of did a walking pace through it, but had a blast.
Well, the course is so tight. It's, I think that... you know, if to avoid crashing, I think that's one of the things, or one of the situations where slow and steady does win the race.
Yeah.
Because, well...
Yeah, it's not a very fast course. It was pretty tight.
Although a couple of those guys were ripping through it.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
We saw some mini tricopters.
Yeah.
Hexes, rails.
Well, I remember showing up, and one of them had mentioned that was the first time they actually made a curvy course, I guess you could say.
Oh, really?
Usually they're ripping through the trees.
Right.
And that was the first time they tried doing a little... something a little bit more complex.
Yeah, I tried ripping through the trees, but I ended up getting lost in the woods.
Yeah,
where am I?
And it was pretty cool because on the inside, of course, they had these trails, and you could access anywhere you needed to, and the people were on the outside of you, so it was safe. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good example of where this hobby, where FPV can go. A lot of people assume because they can go 50 miles out, that's where the fun is. And actually, we enjoy much more keeping it close in, tight around obstacles, and that actually makes the hobby very, very safe.
Oh, yeah.
So those gentlemen were just phenomenal. Thank you so much for stopping by. You guys, I do have a bone to pick with you, though. You know my fear of heights. I saw a theme in this beyond FPV and beyond beautiful things. It was 2,000-foot drops, cliffs, and bridges.
Yeah.
And I didn't appreciate that.
And yeah. not many crash barriers.
Not many crash barriers. I like Italy, by the way. We crossed from France into Italy. This is jumping ahead, but there were points where you were driving in a thunderstorm. We were hopping all over vans trying to get to know everybody, and I was riding with you, and the walkie-talkies were going back and forth. A thunderstorm rolled in with lightning. It was raining, and it was windy, and you look down, and you're about 6 inches from, what do you think, 2,000-foot drop?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a pleasant 2,000-foot, like, okay, I'm just going to hit the bottom and die. It would be, you're going to hit this boulder and then bounce off of this. I actually said goodbye to my wife 3 different times on my cell phone, yeah, hoping that it would live through the wreck. And luckily, I'm still here, but it was breathtaking. And I, next time I'll bring medication.
and tie wraps. We'll just tie wraps to the fence.
You're pretty good. I was impressed.
But by the end of the trip and stuff, it was definitely, I was getting desensitized. And maybe next year.
If you look at any pictures near a bridge or a gorge or anything like that, and if it's a picture of Josh, you can see that he has an icy death grip on any kind of hand railing or anything. So everything looks very casual except for the icy death grip on the railing.
I think I gave both of you guys, because there's a point where we're on the edge of a cliff, and you guys had a picture with a beautiful backdrop, and I think I grabbed onto your sides a little bit tighter than I should have. But it was an amazing trip, and the beauty was just breathtaking.
Remember the first bridge when you guys were laying down, looking down?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, the stone bridge.
That was
what happened there. Yeah.
Blackout, Alex. Tell the story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the first flight. Actually, I didn't really get to fly until like the second half of the trip. I was failing. I kind of took the props off my quad to fit it in my backpack on the plane.
Yeah.
And once I showed up, I couldn't really get it dialed in and get the props balanced. We didn't have a proper prop balancer or the right kind of tape to get those balanced.
Those little tiny props.
I was struggling to get those things balanced, which normally 5-inch props are so easy. But for some reason, I was having trouble. So anyways, I finally got a flying decent, and we stopped by this beautiful stone bridge that looked like it was really, really old, but apparently it was newer.
I think the vertical columns were old.
Oh, yeah, they it was like 1600s or something.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Very, very old bridge.
But the wood, thank God, has been replaced.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Except for the one part that someone was pulling up and showing me. I think that was Gerard.
that was the first stop of the trip that was just kind of pretty much breathtaking. Huge cliffs, huge drop-offs. And everyone's like, somebody should fly. So I was like, all right, I'll fly, of course. And got the blackout and got it all plugged in, got the GoPro, got the goggles going. Took forever to find a battery. Took off, started just coasting away, and all of a sudden my video just cut out completely.
Yeah.
And at that point I was just like, blackout, blackout! And everyone's just like,
blackout!
You're right, it's a blackout. And I was like, no! And so then luckily, Josh let go of the railing, believe it or not, and ran over and took the transmitter and somehow managed to get it back. I'm sure you guys will probably see the footage on one of the episodes.
Yeah, we'll have it somewhere.
But yeah, Josh definitely saved the day, because that was one of the many times we almost lost the plane.
It wasn't specked out, but it was out there quite a ways.
It was a little speck in the sky. Yeah. Somehow Josh brought it back. I don't know how you saw that.
Well, yeah, I was amazed. He even landed it nose in. He was trembling all over.
It wasn't flying the quad. It was sitting in the middle of the bridge untethered. So, but the cool thing is you guys rewarded me with Mountain Dew. And that quickly became, I think, the theme for me is if I do something good, I get Mountain Dew. And that was a gift from, who? What was that wonderful gentleman?
Eric.
Eric, thank you. What's the relation?
Eric has been working on a new design for us.
The board?
Yeah, the Manta. So Manta. This will be announced fairly soon.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
So, very, very talented CAD kind of designer.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, speaking of the Manta, I know we've had the
ability to see a lot of really interesting up-and-coming products for Immersion RC.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But I don't want to talk about the ones we're not supposed to talk about. So,
because we don't want to have to edit this because we don't normally edit.
So, Sander and Anthony, do you guys want to talk about some upcoming gear that you guys have
yeah, I guess
just take it.
Yeah.
All right. We can run through the rest of the road trip here shortly, but
yeah,
figured
yeah,
while we're on it.
Well, yeah, products and stuff, and we were truly humbled by the product, so I think it really needs to be heavy on this topic.
So first off, we mentioned the Manta, so
yes,
well, obviously we can talk about that. Okay. What is it?
So the Manta is a it's a injected EPO wing, which is built purely for FPV. So we've got compartments for transmitters, receivers, cables, GoPro, flight camera. And it's a beautiful kind of almost organic design. It's not your classic, hot wire cut wing.
Sure.
So we had the first CNC mill foam prototypes actually over a year ago now and had a lot of fun with it. It flies beautifully. And so we're just opening tooling now. And I think in probably a couple of months we'll have the first examples in.
Nice,
that's exciting.
So we're pretty excited about that.
And we were looking at some CAD drawings of
yes.
it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Those look sweet.
It's breathtaking. Yeah. I can see why you guys call it the Manta too.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Very well thought out for FPV. And with where you guys live, you guys have so many different elements to test things in, and you're really taking your time. There's a bird doing something really weird behind me. You guys really took your time to do it right, and that's why you haven't been just pushing into market and everything. Yep. From what I understand from talking to you, you want this to be an experience, and this kind of goes along with the theme of what Immersion RC is everything with Immersion that Immersion makes is well thought out. In other words, your video transmitter has the connectors that work easily and plug and plays with your OSD, the plug and plays with your camera, the plug and play. So you, as you configure and grow in FPV and in the hobby, you don't have to just shove your equipment to the side and start with a whole new batch and forget your investment. You're constantly growing, you can constantly change, you can constantly swap, and that's truly exceptional because if you guys notice, probably over a year now, if you look at the past where a lot of it was no branded, no labeled video transmitters, look in the past now, we've been going very, very quickly towards Immersion RC.
Yeah.
And that's because the integrated into Fat Shark, you and Fat Shark work together.
Very close.
Very,
same,
very close.
Same factory.
Same yeah. factory. And yeah. that's wonderful because what that means is that the compatibility issues are gone. And our goal is to bring people into this aspect of the hobby. Compatibility issues are a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a dream come true. It just simply works. And it's durable. Even talking to you, the way you test your products. 4 hours, you put it, you get them very hot, very overpowered, in a bad environment, and you run for 4 hours.
Yeah. Every transmitter that we sell, that's before we test them.
Yeah, that's the, before it, hits, it goes to us, it, it's ran for at least 4 hours. And that, that's a costly thing to do.
Oh, yeah, some big some rooms with some special cooling and special RF screenings. A lot of RF within these chambers.
Yeah.
And it weeds out the ones that fail early.
We just look at it from the perspective. We'd rather be seeing the failures than you guys flying out in the field and losing your plane because of that.
Yeah, and it's a great way to test it. What were you going to say,
Alice? I was just going to say that also it seems, just from chatting with you guys over the trip, you guys have a very similar philosophy to how flight test works, which is how flight test works is we make a show that we want to watch.
Yeah.
And it seems like you guys make products that you want to use.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's how, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that's how Immersion RC pretty much got started.
That is true.
Was you guys making better technology that you guys wanted to put in your own your own airplanes.
It's a company that was kind of, it grew organically with no business plan and no investors. It was really a couple of guys who had a passion for the hobby, and we only built stuff that we needed, and people appear to like it. And
very cool.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of building stuff that you want to use in your own gear, I think each one of the guys on the Immersion team all had one Zhugong, one Versa Wing. They came prepared and they had everything set up. Sander even had a Zhugong with a infrared camera, which is pretty cool.
The FLIR.
Actually, I'd like to take a moment to thank Dave Lee from FLIR for sending that out. Appreciate
that.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. Now, the way we used it was a little different. Yeah. First of all, Zhugong. We got to get to the
Zhugong
stories about
that. Yeah, by the way, Zhugong is a quad that folds up
Smaller than a mini quad, I'd say. Yeah, a 250 size mini quad.
Yeah.
It's a full size gimbal quad, but it folds up to go in your backpack.
It's it's comparable to the frame size of like a Discovery. If you guys can picture a Discovery. Yeah. And honestly, I'll be honest with you guys, when I saw that, I saw the frame demonstrated and stuff, I was like, wow, that looks pretty weak. Like that's a really weak, flimsy piece of equipment. And I was 110% wrong.
Yeah.
And I want to say that because you guys are going to see this thing, and it's going to be like, there's no way that's not going to be wiggly and wobbly. And
yeah, we saw it firsthand, and it was pretty impressive.
And you guys didn't hold back. One of the easiest things for you guys to do would have been to come to Ohio, where it's flat, it's easy, you're not doing anything risky. You guys put your equipment right in front of us to the test. And he pushed it hard.
And we flew over water. I mean,
you flew over water.
I mean, if it goes, then it's gone.
With prototypes.
We didn't lose anything in the water either, which was lucky.
It truly is amazing. But what you're talking about, Alex, the shoe gun folds up to fit in a backpack.
Yeah. Excuse me. It's a aluminum quad frame.
Yeah.
Folds up. It clicks. And the hinges and the bearings and everything, it's so well made. It's just satisfying.
It feels good.
Click it. I sat with a frame and just clicked it in and out forever. It's very well made and very light compared to like a TBS or a lot of the comparable models that are made out of like G10 and stuff. It is a lot noticeable amount of weight.
And what I really liked is you guys do have board integration, but it's not board integration that is built like into the frame. So if you crash the frame, it's actually a removable piece, but it's very well placed, very well thought out. And I love it because the versatility. You know, some people want to start out real simple. They can do that, and then they can add on and add on. And that's kind of what Flight Test does, too. We want to get people to be able to just get into the hobby, have a good experience, and then grow where they want to grow.
Right.
And you guys do the exact same thing with your product line.
Yeah, it's part of our philosophy that you basically start with something simple, buy a video transmitter and a camera. You can always upgrade later without having to reinvest in a new transmitter or a new camera or something along those lines.
And that theme goes from your quads to your planes to everything, awesome little... I'll say mini quad, and I won't give it by name in case you guys don't want to talk about it.
We can talk about it.
Okay, said it. Yeah.
Did he say the Vortex?
The Zhugong XS.
The Zhugong XS.
Oh, the Zhugong, that's right. Yeah. Right now it was called the...
Yeah.
It's been renamed.
Actually, that's another guy we need to shout out to. Z-Fly Boy, Adrian. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, he's cool. So
he's
such a nice guy.
He joined us for 2 days, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I hacked up a mountain with that guy. Retrieving Anthony's plane.
That's crazy.
We felt like Lord of the Rings.
Like
Boris would jump from any neck and any corner or whatever. Yeah, that was interesting.
Once you guys see that episode, you'll see what we're talking about. Yeah,
and by the way, I think that if we ever do like a just quick one day meetup, that location needs to be the place. This place was truly probably one of the most breathtaking for me because you could safely fly and retrieve your planes. There was access, but you had on one side you had these beautiful snow-capped mountains that you could go up and down. On the other side, you had this beautiful creek and a lower layer, and then you sat up on it, and it gave you this unobstructed ability where it was isolated. It was peaceful. Of course, it was a death-defying drive to get up it, but it was breathtaking. And we go up there, and there's like 5 or 6 RVs parked there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere we go, there's RVs.
People just hanging out, yeah.
Paragliders coming in and high-fives from moving paragliders.
That's one thing. Next year, if we come... I really want to try that paragliding because that was one of the most breathtaking, beautiful things.
We did learn something very interesting, though, very important. If you're going to fly it near the snow line, don't have a white plane.
Yes. Guys, watch the episode. It was. It's funny how we set out with one goal, and a whole other thing happens, a whole other storyline happens. But thank goodness for your Zhugong, thank goodness for your OSD, and also how their OSD, you're going to see a video on this because it was so amazing, emits a audio signal that's recorded on the video camera but also can be transmitted back. And if you're using a DVR in your goggles or a DVR period, you can use that running through a free app. Tell me if I'm wrong here. Running through a free app, and now you have all your telemetry delivered to you.
That's right. It decodes the audio.
It decodes the audio. So you hear something kind of like a modem, almost.
Yeah, it sounds like an old-fashioned
modem. Audio.
Yeah.
And it decodes it. You can run it through Google Earth, and you can then trace out your flights. Now, the power behind this is you also have a dongle that's very, very cheap that you're coming out with.
Yes. Yeah, and this is a new product which we haven't announced yet.
Basically, when you fly FPV long range or you're kind of cutting through mountains that are a couple thousand feet high, a couple thousand meters, I should say, you lose planes once in a while. This gives you the ability to track it down. And you're going to see a lot of very product-heavy episodes through our trip because it was so cool to be able to talk about the product but also put it to the most extreme tests in the most beautiful environments.
Yeah.
And also, you guys didn't hide the failures. You guys didn't hide the dumb thumb. We had a dumb thumb moment where we crashed a plane and we put it back up in the air, and we had a failure from that. You let us keep that, and I appreciate your transparency.
Well, up in the mountains, too, with just all the elevation changes and just how quickly and easily you can get out of line of sight.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we really pushed the technology hard all week, which was kind of the point, I guess, of the trip. But
yeah.
Which was also made for some really exciting footage. So.
It did.
Well, the recovery footage was almost more fun than the flight itself.
Yeah, right, right. Oftentimes, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that's safe to say is the Zhugong version 2, the Zhugong Pro, is I believe we're going to be doing a build, tune, fly on it. I think it's going to be one of the most used stabilized cameras in the flight.
Yeah, which the regular Zhugong's out currently, and you're going to be releasing the Pro soon.
Yeah, it's already our CNC guy has already started milling.
How much time does it take to mill that?
It takes 4 hours to mill
each
set of arms.
Yeah. So when you see the price and you wonder, I think it's pretty darn economical for what that is and the amount of technology. And best of all, you're thinking folding arms, it's going to break. You guys designed release points in there. So it's just a little plastic clip. And that way, if it breaks, you can field repair very easily.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
very important. We saw this, Greg from Fat Shark. We were up in the mountains, and there's some very weird barometric things going on.
Yeah.
And it landed very nicely, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but there was some crazy weather. That was during the thunderstorm right before it. The thing just jumps in the air out of the blue. And then throws itself off the hill.
it felt the need to re-land.
but it re-landed 3 times and then threw itself off the hill. It was like, whop, 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 woo!
Yep.
And this thing literally like cartwheeled and flopped down the hill. And they picked it up. I'm thinking, okay, where are the arms going to be? Where is this? Yeah. They picked it up. It's in one piece.
Yeah.
And for version 2, you guys took a lot of the feedback from version 1.
Oh, yeah.
And you take that very seriously.
Yeah. Well, the arms have got a lot stiffer. There's a much bigger thrust bearing in what we call the knuckle.
Yeah.
So it's a much more rigid setup when you're flying with a brushless gimbal. You know, that plus the updated dampeners, they get rid of all the vibration, all the jello from the camera.
Yeah.
So yeah, we fed a lot of that back in. We managed to order a fairly large quantity from our supplier, and we're going to drop the price.
Nice.
So it should be a nice product.
Yeah. We got some changes on the frame as well. Made it a little lighter. Made some extra mounting points for gear.
So, make the NASA fit properly.
Yeah, that too, and a little more room for a bigger battery so you can fly a little longer.
Well, very cool.
And for having the only prototype with us on the trip, we pushed that thing pretty hard.
And we brought it home?
And it came back perfectly intact.
What about, I think you seem pretty cool about all the mountain flying, all the different crazy, going under a... there was this ice. We're up in the mountains where there's snow, and you went under a bridge where there was snow going down to it. It was just breathtakingly beautiful, but that water had to be below freezing.
It was cold.
It was cold, and you were just cruising right over it. And then you went up the waterfall on the other side that fed into that lake, and it was breathtaking. And you did it all with the prototype, so it shows your confidence.
That was a cool road.
It was amazing. That was
the highest mountain pass in Europe.
Yeah.
And called Col des Hurons. And at the top, there's an open ski lift. There's summer skiing, even at the end of June.
Yes.
So this was just after the peak. It was very
beautiful.
Nice.
Now, the one time I saw you actually get nervous was when we were the closest to the ground, and that was in the Gorge du Verdon.
You got it. Woo-hoo!
Okay, I won't say it again.
Gorge Jackson is coming along very nicely.
Can you say it again?
Gorge du Verdon.
What he said. That was the one time I saw you nervous.
Yeah.
And tell us about that.
Well, this was, we basically launched from a pedalo. So we pedaled up through this gorge with the sheer cliffs on the side.
Pedalo is a paddle boat.
Yes.
And they just for perspective, they call this gorge the Grand Canyon of Provence, right?
That's right.
What they've coined
and
it.
And it's gorgeous.
Yes, it's gorgeous.
Yes. Sorry, that was my
fan words. So we launched from one pedalo, and we had a spotter team with some very capable swimmers in a second pedalo. But actually, there was a third pedalo, right?
Yeah.
Yes. There was let's give a shout out to Baloo.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Thomas Baloo, and I forget his last name.
Walter.
Or
Walter.
Walter. Oh, thank you so much. And it's hard because the French pronunciations and the American are very... They'll say it 5 times and I suddenly realize it's...
He was German.
Yes. Yeah, he's German. Okay. Well, that's the German people, too. Yeah. I do know Guten Tag means hello. Eric Monroe taught me that. Thank you, Eric. But we got to meet... Baloo is what he goes by. And he hung out with the trip. This touches my heart. He took vacation. He flew in. And the only way he could come was a couple days early. He then rented an RV for an extended period of time, all to go to the Europe meetup, which you guys made possible. And we weren't about to let him go. And you guys are so, I think you offered first. You're like, you know what, follow us around. Come with us, hang out with us. And there were two wonderful gentlemen that we met. What was the other? Max. We got to meet up with them probably 48 hours before the events. And but Baloo follows down to the canyon. He was our other spotter, and wonderful, wonderful man.
So we flew down through the canyon with the Shugong, and with some cameras rolling, and filmed some waterfalls, and we actually. There's nowhere to land in this thing.
No, sheer rock faces
each side of the canyon.
We found that out after we took off.
We saw a 4-year-old YouTube video, and we saw a guy kind of have like this little beachy side. We're like, oh, okay, that has to be probably around the corner. Yeah. There was nothing.
Yeah.
I actually flew from the bridge, like, amidst traffic. I took off by basically stopping a car, putting the quad down real quick, taking off, and then basically dumping it over the bridge quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, you did great.
So we landed it. We our spotter team caught it.
Yeah. And we're purposely being vague because we want you to see the video. It's we can't describe it properly and give it the right honor. So look for the video coming out. But what a great, great place. And by the way, one of your guys is, I think, a robot.
Yes.
the one that caught it. What's his name?
Yen.
Yen decided, we were paddled way back in this gorge. And Yen said, I feel like I swim, you know, and he jumped off. And
is that what he said, Josh?
I think so. That's my best Frenchy French. But yeah, I think he is part robot because we had to paddle.
For like 2 kilometers.
At least, we had to paddle as hard as we could just to keep up with him. We tried to get a shot of him underwater, and we were just going like crazy trying to keep up with him. And so just watch him in the metal detector, see what happens, let me know. it was an amazing trip. And then afterwards, your countryside is filled with such of the craziest, most diverse beauty. You have mountains, gorges, and then you go over and there's beautiful lavender fields.
Oh, yeah.
And there's these ruins that are... Oh, no, it wasn't me. It was not me this time. It was Tony Cake from Immersion RC. Sorry about that. I just laughed at there for a second.
Yeah, don't forget about that.
Maybe that was me. No.
No, it's not you.
Did you just throw it?
Yeah, he threw it. It almost landed in the pond.
That's a level of dedication.
He almost hit Urs in the face.
Let's hear it for production value here. But
don't forget about the rosemary fields. I mean, I had my towel out to dry in the wind over the rosemary field. Yes. And I got to dry myself off in the morning, like, this smells nice. Yeah.
Downy can't touch it.
Yeah, so, right.
It was just epically beautiful. And your ruins, there was, everywhere we looked, we could probably spend a year here. There was an opportunity to film. And it was always like, okay, we can film it, but can we get it back if it crashes?
Yeah.
And I'm a cheapskate. We did go through 2 GoPros, basically.
Yeah, 2 GoPros, which in my opinion isn't too bad.
No. For 4 days, 10 episodes, that's pretty darn good.
And a few Versa Wings, and I'll take credit for that.
You know what, man? It's a learning experience, and wait till you guys see it. This is, once again, I appreciate it. This is not a commercial trip. This was testing, learning, putting to the test in transparency. And
I think you said it best at the start. I mean, we bonded within 24 hours.
Yeah.
We're just having fun.
It worked out. We all got lucky that we all worked together so well. Yeah.
Yeah. We were hopping around. I think I didn't get to spend much time with you guys because I was up there talking with Tony and Gerard and Sander a lot. But, boy, it's just everyone. And matter of fact, Gerard last night, he was like, I got to warn you. And he's a tough dude. He's like, I got to warn you, I'm going to be emotional tomorrow. It was just like this. But
this was Jerome.
Gerard. Yeah. Gerard is your marketing guy.
Yep.
Jerome. Boy, I'm sorry, guys, about all the names I'm getting wrong. But it was just...
You get me in Austin's name.
I know. It's just
But the funny thing is that some of the advices we've been giving during the trip, for example, use a board camera rather than a GoPro for piloting, all the advices we've been giving all got proven right.
Yes.
You guys got the crash stuff and like, we told you so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the GoPro turning off right in the beginning of takeoff just validated that board cameras are good. And we weren't aware with the all the board cameras we've used. You know, you look at the sun, everything goes black, and then you point down and it's done. I was flying a wing towards the sun. There's the sun, and there's this beautiful green ground. Yeah. I could see both clear as day. And this wasn't even a high-end CMOS. This is a CCD 600 TV line, very economical.
Yeah, this is basically the Fat Shark CMOS camera, the standard one. It's only about $40.
And other things, too, is learning, like, 12-volt cameras are have issues because when you drain your battery, it'll go out or give you issues, where 5-volt doesn't.
So the biggest problem with the 5-volt, 12-volt is that there are the two kinds out there. and it's easy to have a transmitter set up. It's powering your camera with 12 volts. You plug in a 5-volt camera, you just fried the camera.
Yeah.
So, you know, our philosophy is keep everything simple.
Yeah.
There's some very good 5-volt cameras out there. They're plug and play. You just don't need to worry about it. There's no dip switch to set wrong or jumper to set wrong.
Yeah. No. And the other weird thing is most of these cameras work on a very low voltage internally anyway, 3.3 volts typically. So why would you want to have a camera that runs off a 12 volt when you can run it at a lower voltage?
Yeah.
It's much easier to handle that way around.
With a nice clean signal coming from your receiver or from your transmitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of that, your camera's plugged directly in. Once you guys work with Fatshark, everything plugs. The only thing you may have to solder is a lead that goes from your battery plug to supply the video transmitter. And you guys even have some solutions. I know you're pioneering to even take that away.
Well, actually, when the transmitters are shipped, they have a cable which plugs directly into a second battery.
Yes.
We don't recommend flying with a second battery, but that's solder-free.
Yeah.
And I think one of the important things in the trip is that I think that all the flight test guys learned a lot about FPV. And I think
so much.
One of the exciting things is about FPV is that it's constantly changing, it's constantly evolving, because it's so, I don't know that it's early in the technology, but we're in a place right now where it's really picking up quickly, and there's just so much changing. So one thing that you don't want to do with FPV is get stuck in your ways and not, you know, want to learn something new, you know, because that's learning the new stuff is what's fun.
Well, and one thing you're going to see, where is this information coming from? Because we're saying it one way, we do it this way, it works for us. You're going to hear some different tunes from us, especially about things like board cameras, like you mentioned, antenna, you know, routing, servos, techniques for fixing them. Also, the value of things of the technology that you include in your technology, I guess you can say, like spectrum analyzers and stuff. You're going to hear us talking because we got humbled and we got educated at the same time, and we want to share that with you because our desire is not to embolden you to go out and lose your investment. We know that you guys work very hard getting into the hobby. We don't want to put any roadblocks in there. So look forward to these next tutorials coming up with the immersion product because you guys gave us the opportunity to really go in and show here's a proper setup, here's the ins and outs, and then show it slowly grow to the most advanced that you have right now, which is your antenna trackers. The coolest thing is once you start with the basic, you can go all the way to advanced and you don't have to solder a thing. Everything just plugs in, is incompatible. And that's great because back in the day, that did not exist. And I'm really looking forward to sharing that with you guys. It's been an amazing trip. The whole thing has been breathtaking.
Been a lot of fun.
Yep.
Yeah. What? Let's talk about the Europe meetup, or is there something else?
Let's talk about the Europe meetup, and then I think Anthony has to scram here pretty soon.
We have to drop these RVs back.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, they're beautiful RVs. Thank you. Thank you for not getting like land yachts like we have in the U.S. because we would have died. those were probably the most well thought out RVs I've ever seen in my life. We all slept so comfortable. And 120 horsepower diesel turbo.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And they had more power. It was crazy. I don't know what's going on here. But the Europe meetup.
Yeah, we definitely learned a lot from the Europe meetup. And really, the Europe meetup was we kind of had the road trip planned, kind of had the episodes planned that we wanted to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of we just kind of thought, well, we kind of have a day that could be extra at the end.
Yeah.
Let's have a small event and just have some, you know, some local people from it there and shoot an episode while we're there, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that we've learned that... I think that we could definitely do a 2 or 3 day event sometime in the future kind of take it the similar, because it was unbelievable just the distance that people came for it, and just, you know, how it was really great for just being a 1 day event. I think that we could definitely expand that a little bit.
And it wasn't even a full day, it was maybe 8 hours.
And
guys, I hope no one pulled in afterwards. If anyone pulled in after we left, which was around 5 o'clock, please accept our sincerest apologies and everything.
Well, hopefully, so after we had to leave, hopefully some people stuck around afterwards.
But the distances they traveled, there were three young gentlemen that they didn't have the driver's licenses yet. They were, you know, of age and everything, but they hopped 4 trains and 2 taxis.
Yeah.
And
700 kilometers.
700 kilometers.
That's amazing.
Quad strapped to the backpacks.
Yes, yes. It touched us. And then... we'll have it in the recap video, all the great people. I don't want to dishonor anyone, but there were people that went upwards of 12 hours away that drove.
Wasn't there a gentleman from Australia?
Yes, there was a young man and his father from Australia.
A bunch of people from the UK.
Yes.
Germany.
Germany.
All over. Yeah. Belgium.
Yeah. It was kind of nice because this was vacation time overall, you know, kind of for this area in Europe. So, but a lot of people changed their vacation plans to be able to come, you know, spend a day there and then move on to whatever else they were going to do.
And guys, if, really cool. if we either got down or meeting and you made that trip, please know how grateful and touched we were by it. It really impacted us. And one of our biggest desires is getting the honor to meet you and thank you and fellowship with you. And you gave that to us. And it cost you money. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate it. And also, Immersion, it cost you guys money to put it on. You guys actually went out and fed everybody there. It was hot. It was very, very hot. And you had your guys running, and they were machines. They ran out, they got water, they got food, and fed people. And to show that kind of love and hospitality, especially people that were coming, you know, from far away, you know, a couple days earlier, you're like, come with us. You know, you put the content secondary, and you made sure the people were first. And I hope if you hear anything, I won't throw this around. Immersion has the same heart like Flight Test. It's just a passion about, we have passion about RC Flight, and you guys have passion about your FPV technology and getting people into that, and it shows. So
we appear to share the same crazy sense of humor as well.
Well, and honestly, I'm a little worried because two of your guys could do a remarkable rendition of Flight Test here in French. Yes. Who are those guys? Let me think.
Jan and Jerome.
Jan and Urs. The physicist and the muscular robot.
Yep. That's right.
We're in trouble, actually. We could be replaced very, very easily.
Stiff competition.
Very stiff competition. It's humbling, but what a great family, and truly, we're going to miss you guys. This is the best, most amazing trip we could ever dream of going on.
Well, this is the first annual, right? This is what we said?
Well, you know what?
It started out as a joke, and I think it's becoming less and less of a joke.
48 hours into it, I think you and I looked at each other, it's like, we're doing this again. It was right after the quad flying.
That's right.
And
that's
like, okay, this is going to happen again.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. You guys are so welcome to come over again.
Well, thank you. Awesome. Thank you. We look forward to it, too. And guys, we've learned so much next year. We'll take what we've learned and we'll apply it, and we want to make sure we come to you and that we honor your energy to be part of this community and never take it for granted.
Oh, also, the Immersion guys are coming to Flight Fest.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Tony, you're going to be there, right?
Definitely, I'll definitely.
I know all your employees are protesting to come, too.
I know, they're all lining up.
We gotta strike.
You should see how many we can bring.
You should play your petanque to see who gets to come. So.
Actually, there's one more call out I got to do, because it's a guy who's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Who helped us a lot on this, and it's Chris from the factory.
Oh, really?
So he made a lot of stuff happen, got a lot of prototypes in early. He's the guy who gets all the shipments out to the retailers, manages our production lines, and he really did a lot behind the scenes to prepare for this.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah, well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Awesome. Well, you guys got to get in deliver these RVs.
Yep.
We got to get start getting packed up.
Yeah.
And, oh, you know what? We should give your dog. Alex has a new best friend, by the way.
Nelson.
Is Nelson out here?
No, he's not
out here. Yeah, if Nelson was out here, he'd be attacking Alex because they kind of look similar. So
they weigh about the same, I believe.
Yeah. Honestly, the only reason I wanted to bring that up is I'm hoping we have pictures of Alex and Nelson wrestling. We can put it in the notes because I talked about it. So
I'm sure we can come up with something.
Awesome. That note, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity and where you brought Flight Test. And also, thank you, Immersion, for bringing us out. It's
been a real pleasure, guys.
All right, well, we'll see you guys on the internet and the other side of the pond.
Don't forget the shameless plug about rating the podcast.
Oh, yeah, you go to flighttest.com/iTunes, and if you have some feedback, you can leave us a rating there.
We love it. All right, see you next time, guys.
See you guys.
See you. Cheers. Bye.